you'll all want to go whatever to the hospital Tuesday, and maybe they'll put a gallery in there and we can see an elder get his throat cut. Just sort of a fantasy I've had for a long time. Not really. I'm praying for you to have a speedy recovery. In our study in Hebrews, we can't leave it without one more look. And it's in the passage, right in the middle of the passage we looked at this morning. There's a few verses in there that are especially important. He said in starting with verse 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Concerning the outcome, consider the outcome of their life, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is well that the hearts be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have no benefit, have not benefited their adherents. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sins is burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing abuse for him. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Here as we've seen so many times in this book, we see we're moving back and forth between what was going on in the tabernacle and what's going on in heaven, what's going on in the church. We're moving back and forth because there's one central theme that's from the very beginning that God is trying to get us to recognize. And Steve, I want to thank you for those songs, especially the last couple. If I'd have picked them, I couldn't have picked better, because that's the very thing. Before creation and now and there and here, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And personal circumstances, thank you, brother, personal circumstances are the place where you are in history, or the place they were in this, did not change any of that. The truth is the truth. Jesus is King. The truth is the truth. His sacrifice is for us, and it is efficient and complete. But sometimes when we're real close to something, sometimes we don't see anything but that. If you're in pain, that seems to be the middle of the whole center of the whole universe, isn't it? If you're in a difficult place in your life, it seems to take dominance over everything. It's hard to think about anything else. I talked to a guy one time that had surgery, and he was in a lot of pain, and I said, how you doing? He said, well, I've learned one thing. It gives you something to think about. You know. So, well, what he was doing was thinking about that pain. Every breath reminded him of how much pain he was in. Don't get worried, Bill. That's not going to be you, of course, But what we do have in this picture here, we have something he's wanting us to center on the main thing. And he uses an example that we would have, if only the Holy Spirit would have picked this, we would have never even thought about that other fire out in the wilderness. Sometimes when animals were brought for sacrifice, they divided up the meat. Sometimes the priest ate. Well, they did eat some of the meat. Sometimes the people that brought the sacrifice could have some of it. It was a celebration. It was a gift to God, and it was. But these animals, these bulls and goats that were used in the Day of Atonement sacrifice, nobody ate any of it. It was like the goat that was, one of those goats was the one that was killed, and the other one had blood put on it and was put out in the wilderness. to get as far away from us as can. God symbolically is saying he's taking your sins and he's putting them someplace where he doesn't have to look at them when he's with you. And he'll deal with that later with the true sacrifice. Now, imagine that day. And imagine all of the people that were involved in it. Some of the Levites were involved in it. All the priests were involved in it. Sometimes there was more priests than there were jobs, and so sometimes you didn't get drawn. And that was a disappointment, you know, because that was the day that you put on your very best clothes, the day you wore things you wouldn't wear normally, especially the high priest. You know, he had all of that special uniform that he wore that said that God had set him apart. And that day, with that sacrifice and with that blood and with that golden bowl full with blood of bulls and goats and the hyssop branch in it and the high priest going in there and making burning the incense and putting some of that blood on the mercy seat and praying, begging. And the wonderful thing about it was that day, as everyone stands with bated breath, the whole nation is standing there. They know how important this is, because without God, we got nothing. Without his forgiveness, we're lost. And to know that the priest got in and out of there without dying, to know that God accepted that when the priest comes back out. Can you imagine the joy that was happening there, the celebration? Can you imagine the tears? Can you imagine the beauty and the ceremony that was involved in all of that? And can you imagine some of those young men, maybe early in their days in the priesthood, how proud their mother was? You were the best-looking priest there. Did I do all right? You were standing right where you're supposed to stand. You were doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'm so proud. You brought such honor to our family. And you can imagine the smell of all of that that's going on there, that incense that they only burned in the tabernacle and the music that was being played and all of the singing and all of the just joy and pageantry. And part of that whole thing was another list. And if you got picked for that, I don't know what they called it among themselves. I've got gut duty, maybe. I've got wilderness duty. And the disappointment. Don't wear your best robe for this. You're taking a cartload of hides and hair and horns and entrails and bodies out there. They've done everything they're going to do in the temple or tabernacle, and now in this remote place, they're going to be burned, and your job is to stay there till they're burned up. And it smelled terrible. And it was a smoky fire, because that kind of stuff doesn't burn very well, which means you're throwing brush on it the whole time trying to get that carcass burned up. And you're spending all of your time with a stick poking it and trying to stay on the right side of the wind. And besides everything else, when this is over with, even though it was important and necessary, you're unclean. And so you miss out on all of the, you're going to have a thing later, but it won't be like it could have been. Maybe your mother would say to you, surely next year. Maybe the priest that gave you the assignment would tell you how important it was, but you would know that it was a mark on you. And you'd know those clothes are dirty and you're dirty. Was thankless. One of the places was beautiful. All of the ceremony, a lot of it we wouldn't understand, but if you were there and you were part of it, you would say, and maybe you would be whispering to your son and telling him what's happening and why it's happening and why that blood is being collected and what's going to happen and what's going on in there and everything. Nobody is out in the wilderness watching that fire because it's ugly. It stinks. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was out of this world. Peter and John, when they're old men, they're still talking about it. Peter would say, this is no made-up story. This is no myth that we originated. This is not something we dreamed up. I was there on that holy mountain when Jesus' appearance changed and they saw him for who he is, radiant, whiter than anybody could make anything white and glorious. And God the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. John would say, we beheld his glory. Glory is the only Son of God. Later he would say, we touched him. We saw him. We were there. They can't quit talking about it. It was glorious. It was amazing. Contrast that with the barracks or the jail where Pilate sent Jesus. There's nothing pretty there. He's stripped. They had a ring in the floor, an iron ring in the middle of the floor. The one where Herod used had little games carved in the stone where you'd put the accused and the men would get around him and they'd slap him around and stuff and get him, that kind of stuff. You know, the kind of things that people who kill for a living and there's no restriction on them that start thinking of these other people as they're not people and they just get farther and farther afield, but nobody cares. Like the people that got sent to the Colosseum, once you're in that line, no one's going to be polite. No one cares. We're not even going to look at you. When they chained your hands to that ring and they pulled on it so that you were bent over tight. Sometimes they just took you all the way to the floor. And then they went to work on you with the whip with lots of straps and stuff in it. So they would tear you up. Lots of people didn't even survive the whipping. You know what it smelled like down there. Every orifice in your body is leaking. There's tears, there's sweat. You're throwing up. You know they didn't pay a lot of attention to clean it. The only reason they would is because they got to go down there sometime, and they don't. It's part of the shock of this is where you're at. And when they say, Hail, King, they are saying it with, they're showing their teeth and they're clenching their fist and they're seeing just how much more they could put on this man. No glory, nothing pretty. It was ugly, it was dark. What happened at the tabernacle and happened in the wilderness is about this kind of thing. Jesus, of course, gets all glory. Of course, he's the Son of God. He's the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. From time to time, heaven couldn't even contain itself. If people didn't notice, God would speak from heaven, or the angels would declare in unison that this is a great day. Peace and good tidings and joy. The Savior of the world has come. And sometimes there was all the stuff you would see at the tabernacle. But sometimes we see Jesus in places that we'd rather him not be. Because they're dark and they're ugly. And the writer of Hebrews was not just reminding us of the work of God has two faces. It has the face of worship. It has the face of adoration. It has the place where we praise him and honor him. But sometimes the work of God is in the dark places. It's in painful places. And remember what we saw today in the first few verses of that chapter where he talked about let brotherly love continue, worry, take care of those people that are in prison, those people who are afflicted. What was he saying? It's not all going to be pleasant. A little baby, when a little baby's born, we all want to hold it. We all want to kiss it. We all want to, but you know, sometimes that baby, you don't want to be around it, you know? Sometimes it's, you know, when they're screaming and they're, when they're 13, you know? It's maybe not so pretty, you know? Sometimes the work that we get to do is beautiful. Wonderful. We get to get in a circle and we welcome somebody to the family of God, and it just makes our day, doesn't it? It just makes our week. It's just glorious. Sometimes we sing these songs and some of them maybe we've never heard before, and we make a note of it. We say, I want to learn that song because, oh, it's so pretty. But then sometimes it's not so pretty. And he says, where do we look for Jesus? Of course, he promised he'd be here, so we look here, don't we? But where else would we look for Jesus, and where would he be? Sometimes he was with lepers. Sometimes he was telling them, Keith, don't keep those children away from me. If you've been in a third world, children smell bad. And some of them really look bad. One time we were down in Mexico in church, and a little urchin, that's terrible to say that, a small child who obviously didn't have any supervision, walked into the service, and he was looking around, and most people tell him, go away. But one of our elders was there, and he kind of smiled at him. Well, that little boy went straight for him. His face had a circle right here where he had been eating something out. It looked like a pack of Kool-Aid, and he was eating it. And he had it all over him along with everything else that a boy could find that could smear on his body. And I remember the man smiled at him, and the little boy offered him some. And he put his hand out, and the boy put some of that, what he thought was Kool-Aid, which turned out to be cayenne pepper, in his hand, and he put it in his mouth, and then he found out we were not in a beautiful place anymore. We were in an ugly place. But while I was sitting there by him, I thought, why would you eat anything this child has touched? My deal would be trying to figure out a way not to hurt the child, but to be sure I don't. Not everything is going to be pretty. Sometimes it's going to be messy. And if we're dealing with sin, either ours or anybody else's, it's going to be messy. There's going to be blood on the floor, guys. It's going to smell bad. It's going to look bad. Sometimes it's not even their fault. Sometimes they are the victim of sin. But sometimes, I was invited one time to go to Croatia to a refugee camp, and then they closed the deal and they wouldn't let us go. But the man that was setting it up for us, he said, and you need to go to someplace like Walmart and get you some waterproof boots and a couple of sets of coveralls. And he told all this, and he says, and then get some clothes that you want to wear home and seal them up in plastic. And the last thing we do before we leave that place is give those clothes that we have to anybody that will take them, because you don't want to ever see them again. Because of what you'll be wading through and what you'll be doing. I'm going to tell you, I really wasn't that disappointed that the trip was called off. But if we're going to be where people are sinning, or be where people have been affected by sin, or be in many places in this world, it's not going to be church. It's going to be an ugly, dark, difficult place. And that's what he says. Isn't that something? He said, where will you find him? In the Bible, there were places where he talked about still waters and green pastures. In the same passage, he talks about the valley of the shadow of death. We have worship, and we have the world. And Jesus was in both of them. He never quit being who he was. He He never became dirty because he was there, but he was there. A lady that had a bad reputation was kissing his feet at a party one time. People that had terrible diseases, Luke would tell us every time, because, you know, he was a doctor, he touched him. What a thing. So where are we going to go find him? Sometimes it's glorious, and sometimes it's gory. Sometimes we're at weddings where everybody's happy. And sometimes we're in the last day before the divorce where nobody is happy. And we should not be surprised. That's what I'm saying. That's what this is saying. We should not be surprised that there is a dark side to the world. We should not be surprised that sin has its toll. We should not be surprised that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. We should not be surprised at the cost. It should not surprise us. That's one thing. Why wouldn't we know that this would be the place where we'd find him? He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, well, people don't need doctors. And we see him with associating, maybe we wouldn't say fellowshipping, but associating at least with unlikely people. We talked about the woman with the perfume, but there was also a tax collector, and there was lots of people that everyone knew were sinners. We should not be surprised. And we should not be ashamed when we find ourselves in those places. If we're where Jesus is, we should be glad. We should be glad to be there. We should be glad to help. We should be glad for the job. If we were in the service, not everything is parades and ceremonies. Sometimes there's dying and difficulty. In this world, we have opportunities for both. We should not be ashamed even if we're called to share in his suffering. I wonder if Paul, when he was chained to a wall in Philippi, thought about that guard room where Jesus was, where he was also beaten. He said that he worked it out in his mind that he was able to add to or make up or at least participate in the sufferings of Christ, and he got to share in his suffering. We should not be surprised. We should not be ashamed. And we should worship him and serve him. Not everybody gets to be at the fire where everything's pretty. Sometimes, because our King needs us in places, we're in ugly places. Sometimes it's not a little baby who needs a diaper change, but an old man. Sometimes the person that you're trying to help won't be grateful. Sometimes people will try to stop you from doing good things. Don't be surprised, and don't be ashamed. But try to figure out, if I'm part of the body of Christ, what would Christ do in this place at this time? If you need to come to Jesus, this is the time. Won't you come while we stand and sing?